Responding to editors' request for a regular sampling of current commentary from around the Catholic press, here is a column titled Pro-Life's Day After, Five Priorities for the Anti-Abortion Movement to Save the Unborn. It appears in the November 16th issue of our Sunday Visitor. It was written by Greg Erlichson, president and publisher. This campaign, self-identified pro-lifers seem to spend as much time fighting with each other as they did working to change the course of the nation's political discussion in a way that truly benefited the unborn. If the Catholic pro-life movement is to continue as a vital moral force in America, I believe it should use the months ahead to rethink and renew its strategies. I would suggest five priorities for reflection and consideration. Priority number one, retell our story. During the election, numerous Catholics seemed ready to throw in the pro-life towel because the movement had not accomplished anything, or because its efforts to roll back abortion were judged a legislature failure. This is demonstrably untrue. In the face of juridical fiat allowing unrestricted access to abortion from conception virtually until birth, the pro-life movement has won a host of legal and juridical decisions. Such successes have been little by little, but they have both encouraged and sustained a broader grassroots effort to bear prayerful witnesses at clinics, aid pregnant women, and focus the national discussion on the unseen victim. Against all odds, the pro-life witness has not wavered, and young people are increasingly getting the message. Part of the problem is that the pro-life movement itself is divided on the value of incremental change, and some pro-lifers, both for ideological and for fundraising reasons, can sound the most negative about what has been accomplished. Priority number two. The pro-life movement must stop putting all its eggs in the Republican basket. Even with control of the White House and Congress, the party did little to restrict abortion until election time rolled around, and some of its most prominent leaders are less than wholehearted in their efforts. But even acknowledging the many dedicated Republican politicians who are ardently pro-life, it does not serve the pro-life movement well to be the captive interest of a party with many other agendas, some less compatible with Catholic views. Particularly as the new generations are formed about life issues, it is in the best interest of the pro-life movement to have advocates in both parties. Pro-lifers need a much more aggressive strategy for promoting pro-life Democratic candidates and giving voice to the many pro-life Democrats who remain in the party. Priority number three, the leaders of many of the traditional pro-life organizations have done a yeoman's work for decades, and we owe them a huge debt of gratitude. But it has been more than three decades since Roe versus Wade, and there is a need for new pro-life leaders who can seek new strategies and new alliances as the movement moves forward. Priority number four, the U.S. bishops must address their own divisions. They have been a mainstay of the pro-life movement, providing it with intellectual, financial, and spiritual support for decades. Yet the past two elections have called more attention to their own divisions than to the pro-life message they seek to promote. Executive sessions and carefully worded documents cannot paper over these divisions, particularly when one diocese virtually condemns a candidate and anyone who votes for him, while another remains silent or stresses that Catholics are not single issue. Catholics themselves can become cynical or confused in this environment, and this does not bode well for the future. Priority number 5, and the final priority, the abortion battle has not been lost, but it is unlikely to be won anytime sooner either. At best, it will only move to the states, and even that seems a stretch right now. The Freedom of Choice Act will be an ever greater setback. This is a multi-generational battle more similar to the abolitionist movement or to the civil rights movement than any other social cause. Education and personal witness are the keys, and ongoing abortion apologetics in word and deed that testify to our belief that abortion is one critical component of a broad spiritual and social struggle on behalf of human dignity and human rights that we will never, ever give up. And that is the end of that column by Craig Erlickson, who is the president and publisher of our Sunday Visitor. He gives us much thought for food, especially thought that I think is propelled a lot by people who feel that somehow or another we're not balanced enough as a church to really attack this issue. And that balance is very important because behind balance is credibility. It is also that which wins the vote of people. And so the article, I think, is well worth mulling over and might make very good matter for a parish discussion. End.